Is this the first week of our campus ministry? Wow, that's exciting. I'm really excited. Are you excited? Okay, so let's see. Wow, what testimony. That's awesome. Oh my goodness. And by two of many favorite people. Deborah and Adele, and I knew both of them when they were freshmen. Is that right? I knew both of them, right? And Deborah had a church background, but she recommitted herself to follow the Lord. Adele was an unbeliever. She didn't grow up in a Christian family, right? And so she accepted Christ freshman year, and so. As you can see, they've both grown really, really well. And by the way, I think I heard from somebody, Adele made it to the 100% tile. Wow, my goodness. Woo-hoo! Praise the Lord, right? So
Can't
that's
wait.
amazing to me. I mean, Adele really sought God's kingdom first, most of the time, so he really did put a priority on growing and growth events, and she did spend a lot of time just wanting to grow in the Lord. And so you would think that she might not do that well, but 100% tile, oh my goodness, that's like glory to God, glory to God. So but anyway, this kind of shows you that even though you seek the Lord wholeheartedly, according to that passage, God could bless us, in other things. So, glory be to God. Anyway, I have the privilege to normally at the start of the school year be the first one to give the message. So I'm excited to give the message once again for the start of the school year. So. Let's see. I normally do give like five things I hope for you during the school year. And I guess I'm doing that today again. But it's not the typical five things I hope for you. So let's go ahead and pray and we'll zip through it. I promise the guys here I'll try to finish in 30 minutes. Okay, I'm putting it out there already to say going to try to finish in 30 minutes and break my own record. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this wonderful new school year, and it's definitely kind of different. Everything is on Zoom, and not too many people on campus. Lord, we're connecting even new people through Zoom. And so everything is different, but Lord, you're in the midst of it all. And we just want to accept the things that is happening and how things are changing, recognizing God, you are sovereign. And in the midst of it all, you can work still, and we trust you will glorify yourself through it. And so we want to glorify you through this school year in the best way we can in this mode that we are to be a faithful worshiper of you, faithful disciple of you, faithful follower of you. So Lord, bless our brothers and sisters this year. For this year, we entrust our lives and just our growth unto you. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right. Well, again, Adele and even Deborah and many other people have gone through the similar message when the school started when they're freshmen. But look what happened. Wow. Deborah is what year right now? Third year junior, and oh, how much she's grown. And also, Adele is which year? Fifth year, she graduated. She graduated? One more
One more
year, one
quarter.
more quarter, so maybe she pushed it back, I guess. So, but anyway, amazing how through the years, as they faithfully came and Lord, worship the Lord together, learn, get equipped. As you can see, that we do kind of strange things like memorize verses. So the old navigators did this a lot, and I came out of the nav ministry, so we still do that. And so if you hang around our ministry, this is what you'll be end up doing. But anyway, I don't want to yes talk too much about the other stuff, but then I want to go forward and giving you five things I hope for you this school year. And it's not the typical five things, but actually it's five solas. Five solas. And if I could finish it earlier, I might give you a sixth one. So this is what I hope for each of you, so that through this school year, but not even through this school year, some people are starting up their, freshman year, or even possibly transfer people, during your college career, I hope these things for you. So without further ado, let's go forward. First, this actually, solas, comes from Martin Luther, who was the kind of the author of Reformation. And in response to the Catholic Church back then, God kind of clarified for him, what are the most important themes in the scripture. And along with Martin Luther declaring these themes, I want to hope this for you. First is sola Deo gratia. Gratia, or no, that's grace. Gloria, okay? Soli Deo gloria, okay? So that means for God's glory alone. I have one verse in this theme. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do it all in the for the glory of God. Do it all for the glory of God. I just briefly were about to say in the name of God. So Colossians 3:22 say whatever you do, indeed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So this theme is talking about how whatever we do it for God's glory. Glory alone. So as you're about to start this school, who should you study for? God, for God's glory. So if we study for any other driving forces, whether it be for ourselves or our parents or for future successful, glorious career, that might not be the way to glorify God. But even in our studies, that we would do it for God's glory. So actually, it's not only for that, but in the context is eating or drinking. So when you eat and drink, do it for the glory of God, wholeheartedly. So wholeheartedly eat or drink for God's glory. When you sleep, do sleep wholeheartedly, all right? So you got to put away your phone, and it's sometimes better to keep your phone far away. But just rest, sleep wholeheartedly for God's glory. And when you play wholeheartedly for God's glory. How many of you enjoy the what is this icebreaker? Icebreaker game. So did you wholeheartedly participate? Well, when you have fun, you need to know how to have fun wholeheartedly, all right? So I'll be watching for whether you're fully engaged. So when you're having fun, fully engage and have fun for God's glory. When you listen to lectures, you do it wholeheartedly for God's glory. All right, so I just want to leave you with that. So I invite you to do everything for the glory of God. Next one. Sola scriptura. This means by scripture alone. Our ministry is really into eating God's word. So the verse that I want to share it with you is especially from Colossians 3:16. Says, let the message of Christ, the word of Christ, message of Christ, dwell among you richly as you teach, admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Heart to God, you know? So we love God's word. Amen? Everybody, do we love God's word?
Yes.
Woohoo! All right. So that's why we listen to God's word. We read God's word. We study God's word. We memorize God's word. But all of these, we meditate so that we can apply it to our lives and to obey God. And that's how you grow. You need to receive the word of God abundantly. And then we need to meditate, apply to my life, so that as we take steps of obedience, our lives actually gets transformed. Amen. How many want your lives transformed? Sola scriptura. May you be saturated with the word of God. You know, one illustration I like to use in this one is, you know how sponges, when you throw it into the water, what happens? What does a sponge do when it's thrown into the water? It sucks up the water. Sponge sucks up the water such that when you lift it out of the water and you squeeze it, drip, 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 drip. Right? So, like a sponge, we need to soak in the Word of God to the point where somebody pokes you, blah, 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 the Word of God goes forth. So, may we be saturated. With the word of God in the scripture is may the message of Christ, the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That is what the scripture says. And we want to help each other to grow in this so that our lives will be transformed. Amen? That's my second thing. The third thing I hope for you is sola fide. First was solis Deo gloria. And second was sola scriptura. Third thing is sola fide. Sola fide. That means by faith alone. We really, not only do we intake the word of God, we want to live by it. To live by the word is to live by faith in God and his promises. So the next verse that I want to share is simply, we live by faith, not by sight. You know, Adele, when you wanted to live by sight, first, his kingdom and his righteousness. You don't know how it's going to turn out if you put God first, right? But if you choose to put God first, even though you don't see how it will turn out, that's faith. Even though I don't see things are going to go get better or not in the future, but all I know today is I want to see God and live by faith alone today. If you live by faith, you can't lose out. You won't lose out. I realize people these days in this generation, I think people in this generation really don't want to miss out or lose out. Is that true?
FOMO.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, if you put your faith in God and live by faith, you will not lose out nor miss out. You know, and for me, this Monday, I was thinking I should go do quiet time on campus. So I went to the village, and 7 o'clock in the morning, I started to pray, and I start saying, God, here's another year. But it's really a strange year. Can't do much. We can't evangelize too much. We can't talk to people too much. We can't do survey. We can't, you know, go dorming, or we can't do much outreach. And then in my mind, the Lord gave me this verse in Psalms 46. God said, "Cease striving and know that I'm God." You know, we're used to doing a lot of stuff at the start of the fall thrust or fall semester. We're used to going out and out reaching out to people and doing many things, but now we can't do any of that. And we just have to be trusting God. We can only trust God. So I felt like God was saying, this is a plan. This is his plan. He wants me and our team, our ministry, to cease striving and just sit and know God is God. God is going to make it happen. So that means I need to really do not depend on what I do. I need to just really enjoy God and let him do the work. Amen. So that's my challenge to live by faith, even this week. So, soli Deo Gloria, sola Scriptura, sola, what was the second one?
You said it
Scriptura.
already.
I said it. Okay, that was
Scriptura was
third.
first, you said.
Sola Fide, the fourth one is sola gratia, I think. Yep, that's right. Grace alone. Grace alone. So last year, actually, the theme was grace in our ministry because you can do a lot of Christian thing, go to church, go to rally, and do a lot of Bible study or do kind of personal spiritual disciplines of all kind. But if we don't enjoy it, if we don't enjoy gratia, if we enjoy grace from these things, even right now as you're listening to the message from me, is your heart, in the right place where you're getting blessed? Sometimes we might need to, prepare our hearts to receive grace. I always say my heart has to be a bowl right side up to catch grace. If your heart attitude or posture is upside down, no matter how much grace comes to you, you can't catch anything. Is your heart ready to catch his grace? Or are you, not much caring about getting his grace? So it's a heart attitude and preparing our hearts to receive grace. But recently, our ministry is really talking about how we can be more filled with the Holy Spirit. The greatest of grace is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the grace of the Holy Spirit. So we're praying for that. We are rooting that for everyone. We want to help each other to be filled with grace and by the Holy Spirit. Amen. That is fourth. What is the fifth?
Do you want the verse?
The Bible verse, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So let's pray that God would bless, come before Jesus, the throne of grace, with confidence, knowing that if we pray, Jesus will bless us. So let's pray by faith. God bless me with more faith. God bless me with greater filling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Next, number five, hope that I have for you. Solus Christus, this is the name of our ministry. In Christ alone. Not in me alone. Not in Jeremy alone. Not in Conrad alone. Not in Ed alone. Not in whatever ministry or major alone. My confidence. God calls us to put our confidence in Christ alone. It's putting our hope in Christ alone. So the Jesus, when he sent out the 12 to preach the gospel, he said, don't take extra money bag, clothing, sandals, don't carry any extra things because you don't want to put hopes even material things. Don't even hope in, you know, stopping and talking to people. Don't even put your hope on people. Don't go from house to house. Don't look for better treatment. You know, Jesus was trying to take away all the hopes and other things so we could put our hope in Christ alone. And because the disciples put their hope in Christ in Luke 10, they were able to be used in mighty ways. So this is pretty deep. I'm going to talk about this probably, you know, if you hang around, you'll be hearing more about what it means to put our hope in Christ. But the verse that I want to give you is, let us then approach.
Wait, whoop. Sorry, wrong verse.
Wrong verse. The verse is, let's see.
Colossians 1:27.
We have another verse. Christ in me is the hope of glory. That's what it says. Christ in me is the hope of glory. If you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, and I hope you did. If not, we can help you to get to know Jesus better. And one day you can receive Christ. But if you have Christ, that means Jesus is in you. Do you know what that means? The Jesus who did amazing miracles in the Gospels. Amazing miracles in the Gospels. Lives in you. All the miracles he performed. All the powerful work he did. He demonstrated his resurrection power. He lives in you. So if we put our hope in Christ, Jesus wants to transform us from inside out. Inside out. How many of you want some transformation inside? Let's hope and believe that Jesus can do that. That's where it starts. We need to believe that Jesus can change me. You guys have been such great students. I am just feeling generous. I'm going to give you a sixth one. Oh, my goodness. And I'm still within the oh, my goodness. I'm 12 minutes still. Okay, I'm just going to go through the sixth one. I give you these five hopes, but I give you a sixth one, which also Martin Luther came up with, is Coram Deo. So, soli Deus gloria, sola scriptura, sola fidei, sola gratia, sola solus Christus, and then he came up with Coram Deo, which means always in the presence of God. Always in the presence of God. What does that mean? Well, let's go through Hebrews briefly. If you are a Christian, then this is what happened to you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place. If you're a brother or sister, that means if you are Christians who accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And again, if you didn't, we want to help you to come to receive the Lord by God's grace. And so for brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. You know, I'm not sure about the layouts. I'm not sure if you know about the layouts in Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem is the city. Inside there's a temple. Inside the temple, there's an inner sanctuary. Inner sanctuary is divided into two parts. Front one is called holy. The innermost part is the holy of holy. And they're divided by a curtain. What symbolizes a holy place is where man dwells. Holy of holy is where God dwells in his perfect holiness. But it's divided by a curtain. That is the wall of sin. Wall of sin. For the longest time, you know, the Old Testament worshipers, you know, went to the holy place once a year, the Day of Atonement. The high priest would sprinkle himself with blood, sprinkle the curtain with blood. He would go inside the Holy of Holy, except he would tie a rope around his ankle, just in case if he sinned with his thought, he might be struck dead. And people would have to pull him by his leg. So I don't think there's a recording of a high priest dying inside. But that means it's holy of holies, really holy. Only if you're sinless you can go in. But you know what happened? The next verse in Matthew 27:51, it says, "At the moment the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, the earth shook and the rock split." This is when Jesus on the cross, after spilling his blood, he died. The moment he died, the curtain in the temple that existed in Jerusalem at that time of Jesus, the curtain from top to bottom, whoosh, separation of sin, whoosh, removed. What does that mean? His blood and the body. Body is considered the curtain. Now, curtain is sin, right? Jesus' body became sin and he died. His body was torn. So Jesus's, body, having taken all the sins of mankind, and when he died, it fulfilled the requirement of atonement, payment for sin for all humanity. So the curtain no longer needed to exist. It torn from top, from heaven to earth. But you know what happened? In Hebrew, book of Hebrew, right up there, Hebrew 10, it's referring to the better temple, better tabernacle. Actually, that was a physical tabernacle on earth at the time of Jesus. But there's actually a real spiritual tabernacle in heaven. The physical tearing of the tent, the curtain, really happened in heaven. So heavenly curtain was torn. Now mankind, united with Jesus Christ, hidden with Christ, we can stand in the holy presence of the Father. That's what it means. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have this confidence to enter the most holy place with Jesus by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body, since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere heart, with full assurance of faith. So because we have believed in Christ and accepted the atonement of Christ, we no longer are separated from God, but we are always, always in the presence of God. Do you know that? Too late. You believe Jesus. You're in the presence of God. He always sees you. No matter you think I'm alone. God always sees you. So because we're always before the presence of God, we could glorify God. We're always in the presence of God, so we could live by just scripture alone. We could live by faith alone. We could live by grace alone. We could live by Christ alone. Because we're always in the presence of God. So I hope, knowing this reality of what happened to believers, it will comfort you. No matter what happens this year, you're never alone. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is always with you. And you could take comfort in being near to God. Amen? I have 5 minutes left over. I finished this in 25 minutes. My record. Woohoo! Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for these six hopes that we can remember for this year. Lord, even if we remember this for the rest of our lives, it will be an amazing blessing for us. So God, just bless each of our brothers and sisters everywhere. We're not only USC, but UCLA and other places. Father God, wherever we are, that we would always know we're always in your presence, loved by you with all the love of Christ. and all the love of the Father. So thank you, Lord. We consecrate this semester and quarter to you, and we want to dedicate our lives, recommit our lives to be true followers of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.